Hope you have your Bibles with you and you've got them open to Matthew chapter 4. This is recorded as far as the temptations in Luke's gospel as well. And not only Luke, but in Mark. Mark, the oldest gospel writer. But we're going to center this morning in Matthew chapter 4. And I've entitled this as the series, Preaching Jesus, Our Victorious Lord. Jesus Christ is the victorious Lord. And I know we have read these temptations many times. We have studied all three of them. We've looked before, and you have in Sunday school over the years, the meaning of these temptations, and we've preached it from countless numbers of pulpits and evangelical churches throughout this country. But I hope this morning, as we sit for just a few minutes and we work through these temptations, these three, that I can show you something perhaps once again you've never seen before. Something that I don't illuminate you with, but God gives you discernment to be able to see something, and then you say, whoa, I've never seen that before. Then our purpose has been fulfilled. Because you see, once again, folks, everything hinges here on this testing of Jesus. All Satan had to do was get Jesus to give in just a little bit. A little bit. And it would have negated everything. You understand? That's how important this fight, this warfare, this battle was about to be. Jesus Christ stepped out of the Jordan River. Notice the end of chapter 3. And when he walked out of the Jordan River after his baptism of John, he was ready to begin a 3+ year ministry. And God literally, as the scripture says, y'all, led him up through the path out of that water to fight human sin with Diabolos himself. Now, I want to tell you something, and make sure you always understand this. The devil is not omnipresent. You understand that. The devil is not omnipotent. He's not all-powerful. The devil is not omniscient. He doesn't know everything. The devil is not God. How many of you were tempted this past week? All right. If the devil is not omnipresent, that means the likelihood of the devil giving after one of us, and he may very well did. Don't know. But I can guarantee you the demons of hell came after you. You see, the devil can't be everywhere at the same time. Don't ever give him that credit. But I want you to know with these temptations, Jesus was battling Diabolos. Diabolos is simply a Greek word that's the name for the devil. There's other words, Lucifer. We could go through some Beelzebub. But Diabolos, the word we translate devil, Jesus was fighting him. Matter of fact, Mark and Luke actually say that he was tempted throughout all the 40 days in the wilderness, and these just culminated the last three. Can you imagine such a fight? You know, when the demons of hell get after us and tempt us, we can't handle that one. Can you imagine fighting and wrestling with Satan himself? Make no mistake, this is what Jesus had to do. And we know the end of the story. He won. Jesus was about to launch his personal ministry. He was heading to Galilee. He's going to end back up in Capernaum where he moved to. He ministered in Judea and Samaria and Galilee. But there was somebody very, very, very mad at Jesus. Satan. He knew, this is Satan now, he knew, I put "knew" in quotations, that he could hang Jesus if he would just get the chance. All he had to do was get Jesus to succumb to one little teensy temptation. But Satan didn't realize the power he was up against. He didn't realize the power of God. He knew that Jesus was Lord. He knew that. But he still thought he could defeat him. Jesus had just come from a mountaintop experience. Can you imagine? Just being baptized. The Bible says that the Spirit of God descended in the form of a dove on Jesus. Launched that 3+ year ministry. Wow. And folks, I want to tell you something. Satan was absolutely ready for Jesus. No matter where you are in your spiritual walk, as you have those mountaintop experiences, you can be sure the devil's going to try to push you off that mountain. He doesn't want you to experience a mountaintop experience. He doesn't want you to experience a daily walk with Jesus Christ. He wants you to doubt. He wants you to do everything you can conceive possible, and he will do for you to try to get you off course. That's the very word to tempt. And let me tell you something by way of introduction with this word. The word tempt in the Greek is the word parazo. That's in the first person singular. It means I tempt. The word tempt, a lot of translations translate this word to test. It means a period, a time span, something happening whereby someone is being parazo, tested, to put to the test, to try to learn the nature or character or something by submitting that person through thorough and extensive testing. The word also can mean the endeavor to attempt to cause someone to sin. To trap is what this word means. To lead into temptation. That's just simply a way of saying that you're tempted. But I believe you get the point right here. The word is putting Jesus Christ through the great testing prior to the cross. And folks, we know the end of the story. Jesus wins. He wins in a dramatic, incredible way. And that's what I want us to look at this morning. The last thing Satan wanted was for Jesus and his message to be unleashed on this world. And trust me, Satan and the demons of hell, but in this case, Satan himself. And can I tell you something about the word Satan? Now, you English folks in here as well, it's a proper name. And I know when you write professionally, you have to capitalize the S of Satan. Well, I don't do that. I just don't give him the honor to capitalize his name. Now, you people say, well, that's not professional writing. That's all right. He's not professional in my opinion. So I just use a little S. So any of them, I don't know if I did it here. I do it in my notes everywhere I go. Satan is never capitalized. So I'd get a mark on that in my English class because that's a proper name. But folks, let me tell you, he doesn't deserve a capital letter is the way I look at it. Because he thought he owned it all. He thought he could entice God through his son Jesus. And he thought he could pull him down because he knew that if he could just get Jesus to sin a little, then it'd all be over with. But you see, the devil and God's purposes in temptation was completely different. Satan wanted to entice Jesus to sin that one time. But Jesus, however, God wanted this world to know beyond any shadow of any doubt that Jesus Christ was the Son of the living God. And folks, in these next few temptations, these three, wow, does God prove the strength of Jesus Christ? Wow. See, here's what I want you to do. I want you to walk with me this morning, and we're going to take a brief stop in 6 different places, and I want to show you some things about these temptations and how we can truly say that Jesus Christ is victorious Lord. I'm telling you, folks, when you see, we went back and we looked at the resurrection. We've seen the power of the resurrection. You all knew that. But we saw it differently a few weeks ago. Now we're moving into that temptation and how important that temptation is as we make our way to the cross and to the empty tomb. So the first thing I want to tell you about is the timing. The first thing is the timing. Now, in your outline this morning, I put a little word in there. It is pronounced tate, T-O-T-E. And here's what I want you to do. Write the word then, right after tate. That's what it means. Why? When you look at the scriptures and you look in verse 1, it says it right here. Then what? Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The word then, folks, is a word that connects. It connects everything prior to that point. What was the thing that just had happened to Jesus? He had been baptized. He had been in the Jordan River. John had baptized him. His ministry had led up to this point, and now that little word in the Greek, it's like you write all this, and then you want to connect these two things together. The Greek people used the word tate to do it. They brought it together with the word then. It's going to be interesting in the temptations that the scripture begins with then, and our scripture today in verse 11 ends with this same word. So, wow, the timing. Jesus' baptism was done. The Spirit of God had come to him. One might think, should we say, that Jesus was immune to temptation. But it wasn't so. The first decisive leading of the Holy Spirit of God was to lead Jesus into bitter combat with the devil. His ministry lay in front of him. And God said he must be tempted. Why? Man was tempted and failed that test in the Garden of Eden. The only way Jesus Christ could be guilty of the sin of the world is for him to experience that sin and still yet remain sinless, even the least little bit. I know I've said that three or four times. I think you understand what I'm trying to say. Even the most smidgen of a sin would negate it all. And Satan says, I can make him do it. I'll get Jesus. You just watch. And I can just see God in heaven smiling. You won't win with my son. And I want to show you how he did it. The timing of this whole thing, right there following. And then I want to show you something else. The Bible says in this verse, then Jesus was what? Led up. You know, I think like this when I'm studying Scripture. Why is up in there? Why didn't he just, then Jesus was led of the Spirit of God? Why did he put up? First thing, the word there for led up is anago, A-N-A-G-O in the Greek. It literally means to move from one level to the next. It means to be taken by their hand. It means to be guided. It means to be held on to. Folks, just like the cross had to happen, so did the temptations. Do you understand that? God, the Father, led him up. Watch. He's holding God to Jesus' hand. He's leading him up out of the water. How do we know that? The Spirit of God had just descended on him. God never left his son. In all of these temptations, God the Father had a hold of his son. He wasn't going to let him go. And that to me, folks, is the most incredible knowledge to understand. When we face temptation as a child of God, when Satan throws everything at us, we can be confident that God is anagoing us. He is leading us up. He is not letting us go. So you're right. God did lead him to be tempted of the devil. Had Jesus not faced them temptation and won, you and I wouldn't be sitting right here. You see the importance? Sometimes we read the temptations and we see them and we read them for the literature that they are and what are, but for the meaning behind it and what God the Father is trying to teach you and me today about the fact that Jesus Christ is victorious Lord is absolutely incredible. Now, what do you think of when you think of the desert? You know, the Bible says, and let him 40 days in prayer and fasting in the wilderness. Wilderness, the word there literally means desert. So what do you think of? When I think of a desert, I think of something flat, sandy, no trees, no anything. It's just dry. Is that kind of what you all think about? Well, let me show you where we are, folks, right quick. Let me just put a map together. Here is the Dead Sea. You see that line right there? That's the Jordan River. So we're at the Jordan River right there. If you head west, right here, right in this area right here, this is the wilderness of Judea, the Jerusalem wilderness. This is where all that took place, is right in this area, just north of the Dead Sea as the Jordan River, because the traditional site of where Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River was about right in here somewhere. Now, if you have in your mind that this is a desert and it's flat and whatever, let me just show you another picture of what this place looks like. We are looking west of the Dead Sea now. Look at this. Would you like to be caught out there alone by yourself? Let me show you another picture. See? Remember, he takes him to the highest point. All this whole area to the west of where I just showed you on the map, this is where Jesus was. This was the wilderness wanderings in themselves. Here is Jesus spending 40 days and 40 nights right here in this place, and God never left him. He led him up, and now God used that time to prepare him for all that was going to take place. So the timing, right after his baptism, right when he was closest to the Father, Satan came after him. You know, the Laodicean church in Revelation, Satan didn't bother the church at Laodicea. Why? Y'all remember? What was significant about the people in the church at Laodicea in Revelation? They were doing what? They were straddling the fence. They were just kind of in the middle. Satan didn't bother him. Why? Because Satan had him exactly where he wanted him. But Jesus, however, knew what he was about to face. And Satan thought he could win and be victorious. But God the Father said, you might ought to look at this again, Satan, because you're fixing to face the battle of your life. You won't win this battle. Jesus is not on the fence. He's the Son of the living God, and he's going to win this battle. The timing. The second thing I want to tell you about is the preparation. Is the preparation found in verse 2. And he fasted 40 days and 40 nights because he was hungry. 40 days and 40 nights. Two of the gospel writers said that he was even tempted during this time. The main thing I want you to understand is the timing. Now, physically, you can go without food for 40 days and survive. You cannot, however, survive much over a day or two without water. But now, scholars seem to think, well, maybe Jesus got water in the springs that were there, small springs, drips, a little bit of water. But you know, that was the Son of God in the wilderness. His daddy, his Abba Pater, was watching over him and taking care of him. He could handle 40 days and 40 nights. Supernaturally, did the Lord drink water? I don't know, folks. I wasn't there. But it wouldn't surprise me if he did not have food or water. Why? Because that's the Son of God. But what happened to him when the 40 days and 40 nights was over? Y'all remember? Very simple statement. The Bible says it. And he was what? Hungry. Would you be hungry after 40 days and 40 nights? No McDonald's close by. You know? You'd be hungry. You'd want something to eat. So God took that 40 days and 40 nights to prepare him. The Bible said he fasted. He stopped. He got alone with God the Father. And he told him, he said, "This one's not going to be easy, Dad. Satan's going to come at me with everything he's going to come at with. Give me wisdom. Give me strength to be able to withstand, because my personal ministry on this earth as we left heaven and became man is to make sure that talking about the Son of God, remain sinless." Do you see how important these temptations were at that point for our redemption? If Jesus would have given in any little bit, there would have been no resurrection. There would have been no sinless Son of God. Wow. So the third thing I want to tell you, real briefly, here are the three temptations. Here's the time when Satan gets together with Jesus now. And the culmination of what had happened over the last 40 days and 40 nights, and we see it in verse 3. Temptation number one, I want you to write this. Write misuse of power. Because that's what this temptation is. Listen, "Then the tempter," verse 3, "approached him and said, 'If.'" Now folks, when you look at this in the Greek, that word "if" is really not it. Well, it is "if." But if you look at it in Koine Greek, that means Southern Greek. And if you try to translate the word "if," I just be honest with you, the best way you can translate "if" is the word "since." Make no mistake, Satan knew Jesus was the Son of God. And so what was Satan saying right here? He said, the tempter approached him and he said, "Since you are the Son of God." Now he's 40 days out and 40 nights. 80 different time spans right here. And the man's hungry. He's human. He's full God. But he's full man. Figure that one out. That'll blow you away. You can chew on that one for a long time and never really completely understand that one. But that's what the book says. He left heaven, according to the book of Philippians. Emptied himself, kineo in the Greek. Every drip of everything was emptied into Jesus Christ, that he became like a man. And that man was tempted. And he said, "If you're the Son of God, tell these stones," these little rock stones that are about this big, they look like round bread, and they were everywhere. You just saw the picture. And so Satan says, "Since you're the Son of God, if you're hungry, you need to take care of your own need. Do something supernatural, God. Jesus. Make you something to eat." What'd Jesus say? "It is written, man must not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Satan wanted Jesus to prove the fact that he was God by using his power for his personal purpose. The devil tempted Christ to prove that he was Son of God by fixing things for him, by turning rocks into stone. He was tempted to use his own power to meet both a personal and a worldwide need. Now, granted, Jesus was hungry. And the devil tempted him to create bread and feed himself. Wow. And then he could feed the world and prove himself to be the Son of God. But Jesus Christ knew differently, because Satan wanted Jesus to trust himself for the food, not God. God's way is the way of faith, which led to the cross. And the devil was saying to Jesus, "Just trust yourself. Take a shorter route, Jesus. Take the shortcut. It's okay. You know you can do it. You have the power. Make these stones bread." I want to tell you something, folks. You and I need more than bread to live. The Bible says you need the spiritual food and nourishment from the very Word of God. So how did Jesus battle the devil on this first temptation? He quoted Scripture. He quoted the same Scripture that was used of the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness in the book of Deuteronomy. Here's the verse, Deuteronomy 8:3. I have it printed for you in the outline. He humbled it by letting you go hungry, and then he gave you manna to eat, which you and your fathers had not known. We're talking about Israel wandering in the wilderness. So those 40 days and 40 nights. So that you might learn that man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Temptation number one. Depend on the Word of God. And what did Jesus do? Well, Jesus simply said, look, you're not going to tempt me to use my power or the power of God for my personal purposes. Man doesn't live on bread alone, but he lives on the very power of the Word of God. In our new members class, Mildred and I talked about it a few weeks ago. We memorized Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. You know, if I collected all the Bibles in this house, brought them down front, and then we spent this afternoon, today, just recreating as much of the Bible as we could, just right here in this room, I wonder how many verses and references that we could write down as a congregation, as a body of believers, to preserve. Jesus Christ used the Word of God to combat the devil. Work for Jesus. It'll work for us. Amen? Here's the second thing. Temptation number two, it's actually number four in your outline. It's found in verses 5-7. And write these words in the blank. Perform the spectacular. Perform the spectacular. Listen to the scripture. Then the devil took him to the holy city, had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple, and he said to them, if, there it is again, since you're the Son of God, you just throw yourself off here, Jesus. For it's written, if you throw yourself off, he'll give his angels orders concerning you, charge, that they'll support you with their hands, and they won't allow your foot to strike against a stone. They'll hold you up. They'll take care of you. The spectacular, the magical, the incredible. Just do that, God, Jesus, and everybody will believe you. Jesus looked up to Satan, and he said, Satan, it is written. There he goes, quoting Scripture again. Do not test the Lord your God. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. Once again, the second Scripture used for the children of Israel as they were being led in the wilderness for those time span. Christ, folks, was tempted to test God. He was tempted to do the spectacular. He was to jump off a towering pinnacle of the temple and let God send his angels to catch him in midair and put him down on the ground. He was tempted to attract attention to the spectacular. Folks, Jesus doesn't want to attract attention to the spectacular. He wants to attract attention to God the Father, who says, I'll forgive your sin. He didn't come to do acts of magic, acts of being spectacular. He came that this world might experience salvation through the sinless Son of God. And had Jesus done this, there would be no sinless Son of God. You and I would have no way of salvation. And we would be doomed. God was saying, son, trust me. Don't let the folks trust the spectacular. God wants you and me to believe in him and love him as the Father, not because of events or happenings, whether it be spectacular or commonplace, but to believe in him because, as Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So the first temptation was the misuse of power. The second temptation was for Jesus to perform the spectacular. And here's the third one, it's number five. Settle for a compromise. Write this one down. Verses 8 through 10. Listen to this. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And then he said, always when I read this one, I think, you know, the devil really thought this was his. He says, I will give you all these things if you'll fall down and worship me. And then there Jesus says again, go away, Satan. And look what he says. There it is again. For it is written. Whenever you see it is written, that means Scripture is on its way. Listen. And he says, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Folks, let me say something. You old Diabolos here was misguided. He thought the kingdoms of the world belonged to him. And that he had ownership of them to give them away, and he didn't. The Bible says it like this in Psalm 24:1, the earth and everything in it, the world and its inhabitants belong to the Lord. Enough said. But just in case, 1 Corinthians 10:25, for the earth is the Lord and all that's in it. This third and final temptation was to prove his deity, the fact that he was God, by compromising. The devil tempted Christ to prove that he was the Son of God by settling for a compromise. You just take all these kingdoms. I'll give them to you if you'll worship me. And folks, so many people, the vast majority of this world, is settled or has settled for a compromise. People are saying there are other ways to heaven than through Jesus. They're settling for a compromise. There is no other way to heaven except through Jesus Christ. John 14. The power of the Word of God that says there's no way you can go to heaven except through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. If Jesus had bowed down and worshiped the devil, then the kingdoms of this world and the loyalty of men would be his, so to speak. He was tempted to compromise what Jesus came to teach. And Jesus said, I'm not going to do it. That is not God's way. God is alone to be worshipped, not the devil. And with that, folks, misuse of power, temptation number one, Jesus won. Temptation number two, perform the spectacular. Satan lost again, Jesus won. And then the final one, number three, settle for a compromise. Jesus wins, Satan loses. And one final thing I want to tell you. Number six, write this word, the victory. And then in your outline, I also put that little word after verse 11, and it begins with it. Tate, remember that one that we said in the beginning? Then, everything now hinges. Now, all this temptation, everything we've said this morning, all the temptation hinges on what you're about to hear. And I love these. Jesus had battled the devil three different times with the precious, infallible Word of God. And verse 11 says, then, tate, Diabolos left him, and immediately, word means to see, behold, to observe, angels came and began to serve him. I love it. I love it. The word diakoneo, deacons, does that ring a bell? Diakonos, that's the word deacon. It's translated to serve, to wait tables. Here is that same word right here. And angels came and began to wait tables, his table, all around him. Everything in those temptations hinged. Why that word? Because God was saying, it's done. We win. It's finished, that part of it. We got more battles ahead. We've got the cross. But I can assure you, God says, Jesus will win. But he won this one. He's the sinless Son of God. There is victory for Jesus. The battle for now is over. And then, that little word then, connects it all together. And when he connects it all together, he says, Jesus Christ is the victorious Lord. The devil knows just where to tempt me and you. In the wilderness, when a person is without bread, when he's really got a need, then there's that temptation that appeals to the lust of the flesh. He also knows when to tempt us when we're on the pinnacle. When a person is before the multitudes and he sees all this, this temptation is that which appeals to pride, the pride of life, fame. And then Satan knows he can tempt us when we're on a high mountain. When he sees what's available, sometimes rightfully is, and sometimes maybe just what we desire. This is the temptation that appeals to the lust of the eyes. But folks, God has given you and me the tool to be victorious over the devil. And that tool is right here. The precious, incredible, authoritative, infallible, inerrant, without error, Word of God. To God be the glory that He is our victorious Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that we can sit down together and just take a walk and see these temptations. Lord, there's so much more there that we could sit and we can share and we could talk about today. But I believe, Lord, we've preached the message you wanted us to preach, to show the importance beyond anything we can ever imagine of what this means for us today. You conquered temptation. We are sinless creatures on this earth. But Father, thank you that you allow us to conquer that temptation, and we can conquer it through the very Word of God. Every time you were tempted, you had that Word hid in your heart, and you quoted the Word. Oh, Father, as we face Satan this week, as we face the demons of hell, as we're tempted, may all of us pick up the Word of God and remember what we've heard today, that the sinless Son of God won that battle through the Word. Father, may we do the same. Thank you for your Word. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for conquering those temptations in Matthew. Father, we love you. Thank you for the privilege of preaching your Word and your message. Such a simple message, Father. Such a simple Word. But what it means for us today is far beyond anything we can ever think or imagine. Thank you for being our victorious Lord. I love you, Father. I love these folks. And now, Lord, we come to this time of response. Your will be done, and you close this service how you desire it to be closed in our heart. I want you to stand to your feet, all of us. That little chorus is called Lead Me, Lord. Doug's going to come and lead us as we just keep a time of prayer in our heart. And Matthew and Austin and Daniel, we'll all be right down here, Doug and I. Whatever you need, I want you to come. This becomes our altar. Would you sing that little chorus a couple times through? And let that be our prayer this morning as we leave here, that God will lead me, Lord. Lead me, Lord. Let's sing that, Doug.